making. The importance of prayer in disciple making. I don't necessarily have a lesson to teach today. I want this to be a lot more interactive. I have some things I'll put on the screen as we go along. But I do want this to be a lot more interactive than perhaps we have done in the past. But this is an important subject to consider. Prayer is one of those things where, you know, if someone were to preach on prayer and then have some kind of altar call, who shouldn't go down the aisle? It's just kind of one of those things. Who of us prays like we ought to? You know, no one can say that. This is one of those topics where we all know we have work to do. We all know we can improve in this, that, or the other way. But this is an important thing to continue to talk about as well. As a church corporately, we do try to emphasize prayer in different ways. In our corporate worship services, we incorporate different prayers throughout the service. This morning I prayed right at the very beginning. Have what's called the pastoral or congregational prayer or whatever kind of prayer you want to call that. My kids used to call it when they were young, the long prayer. You know, we pray usually before the offering and we pray at the end, kind of a benediction, kind of a prayer, so to speak. So we emphasize it that way. We have corporate prayer times, a prayer meeting, we call it, even on Wednesday nights. There is tremendous value in that. There is even biblical warrant for that, for a kind of corporate prayer time. Like, for instance, in Acts chapter 12, that Peter was in prison, and he's released, and he goes to the house, and they're having a prayer meeting, praying for his release. I think it was Acts 12. Anyway, you find this aspect emphasized in the New Testament. And we try to emphasize it here in our church in a variety of different ways. We make prayer an important part of who we are and what we do. With that prayer meeting attendance all over the country has dwindled over the years. And I think really to the great detriment of the health and effectiveness of the church as a whole. Again, when God's people don't pray, not good things happen. Okay? God commands us to pray. Christ exemplifies prayer in his life. We see prayer in the New Testament church in Acts. We see prayer taught about throughout all the epistles. There is great value and importance in God's people praying. We ought to pray, though, also privately, too. Prayer is not just a corporate event. But prayer is something that each one of us as God's children individually need to be involved with as well. Christ himself prayed. See that many times throughout the gospel accounts. Sometimes he'd go all night in prayer. He'd find a secluded place and pray. The disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. You know, we find this mentioned throughout the gospels again in a personal way, not even just a corporate way. But this morning, I want to have a discussion on the importance of prayer in this particular context. In the context of what we've been talking about, making and maturing disciples, evangelism and discipleship. The importance of prayer in that kind of context. Okay? So what I want to do today is pose four questions. Questions to raise in this context, and I want you to give the answers. I'll sprinkle in a few things here and there as well. But I want us to answer these and to talk about them and to discuss them together. All right? So the first question is this. What is the importance of prayer in the process of making a maturing disciple? In other words, why should we do this? Why is this important to pray in this particular context of making and maturing disciples? All right, who wants to start? Marshall?
Because we can't save anyone.
Okay, because we can't save anybody ourselves. Yeah, Michelle? I'm sorry, say the last part again.
And what his will is in the situation.
Okay, good. What else? Why is this important? Steph?
We might be filled with the Spirit instead of our own wisdom.
Okay, so we can be filled with the Spirit, not our own wisdom. Deb?
Similar to speaking about humility.
Yeah, I got more of a sensitivity to the situation and how to do it and when to do it and all those things. Yeah, good. Well, so yeah, Brian?
We're scripturally commanded to pray.
Yeah, we're scripturally commanded to pray. We'll look at some of those in a little bit. Angela?
This is a more of a personal reference because I don't know how to say it.
Yeah.
Growing up in the NAR and the whole tongues thing, all that nonsense, that's how I learned to pray. So corporate prayer helps to teach me how to actually pray.
Mm.
And that doesn't sound right. It's like trying to teach my children how to pray. So when I was in everybody else praying, that helped me to realize, oh, this is not this nonsense that we had before. So it's just a practical application of learning from more mature believers to bless each other.
It's a great point, which is one of the, as an application of that, that's one of the reasons why I love having our teens and young people in our Wednesday night prayer time, so they can learn how to pray from us grown-ups as well. Good. What else? Why is this important to pray in the process of making and maturing disciples? Any thoughts here? Sherry?
It keeps us spiritually focused, and anyway, it keeps us spiritually focused, and it's a good example to others because they see what you're doing. Not that we're supposed to concentrate on self things. That's not what I'm saying. But other people watch you.
Yep.
You know, people we don't even know are watching this. And when we pray, and or when we're trying to help people become, you know, mature in their faith or whatnot, it keeps us kind of connected to the Lord and us not thinking about ourselves. I have something in my head, and I can't figure out how to explain it.
But, okay.
Other people might see what we're doing, how we treat, you know, that person that we're trying to discipline. Not that we're looking for their approval, but the way that we treat.
Yep.
Let's say I was trying to, you know, disciple Shaylin or Marshall, other people would see maybe how I was going about that. And it might spark something within them to say, oh, so this is how you're supposed to be. This is how this works. And it could have an effect on them so that they would be more apt to want to follow.
Sure, or you make that even more specific to prayer. If we say, I want to win someone to Christ, but we're praying imprecatory prayers against that person, that communicates a conflict. I can't be angry with someone and pray for their well-being at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, good point. Angela?
I think it's along the same lines as keeping us aligned with Scripture and stuff like that, is that oftentimes we pray the Scripture as far as not to remind God of his promises, but at the same time, we pray what God has promised,
yep.
And that keeps us more aligned to the Bible. That's along the lines of what was already said as far as, you know, keeps us spiritually focused.
Never a bad idea to pray Scripture. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ray? Right. Yes, praying helps that, yeah. These are good. Let me add a couple things. Sorry, Brian.
When we pray and make specific petitions and then they're answered, it gives us the opportunity to glorify God.
Yeah.
In answer to prayer.
Yeah, the rejoicing of the prayers answered is a wonderful aspect of this too. Yeah, Art?
It shows our absolute dependence on the Lord.
It's like you're reading my mind, Art, because I was about ready to say something like that. Even the very essence of what prayer is, in this context, we are recognizing our utter dependency upon God to save anybody and to grow anybody. Because I can't do it.
Right.
I can't do it. So we're, even in the act of prayer, we are recognizing, God, you've got to do the work.
Yeah.
Now, we can be tools in that process, don't get me wrong, but it is God who does the work itself, especially. Prayer recognizes the supernatural nature of all of this. Okay, kind of going along with that. This is not just a person, for instance, if they're saved, not just a person saying, all right, I'm going to do this, and just will themselves to do it. Or in spiritual growth, they say, I'm just going to pull myself up by my bootstraps and make it happen. There's a supernatural element to all of these things that we've got to understand, and prayer helps us in that. It reminds us, it should anyway, remind us there is a supernatural element here that I've got to submit to. Okay, good. Good thoughts. Next question. What kinds of things should we be praying regarding ourselves in this context of making and maturing disciples? Okay, so we know we can pray for others. We'll get to there in just a minute. But let's start with here. What kind of things can we pray for regarding ourselves in this context? Yeah, Shayla?
We should recognize that we haven't arrived spiritually either, so we should be praying that we should be sanctified.
Okay, good. You can pray for our own sanctification because we haven't attained it either. Echo Paul's words. Okay, good. What else? Sherry?
Praying that the Lord would keep in the forefront of our minds that this is, because sometimes we might forget, this is only about the Lord. It has nothing to do with me. You know, because somebody may say, oh, thank you so much. You know, I wouldn't have done this without you. And no. It's not about me. It's about the Lord moving in your life. It has nothing to do. I'm just a messenger.
Yeah. And we know what they mean by that. But I totally get what you're saying. It's all about God. Yeah. It's good. What else? What can we pray for ourselves? Deb?
Where they are.
Sure.
And that could be, you know, what their spiritual maturity, what they know, you know, but also what's going on in their life.
Yep.
You know, if they are highly stressed, our talking could cause them more stress or just go right over their head.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I think, you know, that we would pray and say, Lord, help me really their side of the equation. Let me be soft to that.
Sure.
And not just be barged in. I have words to tell you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that perception or that discernment that we need to discern the situation. And yeah, very good. Someone, yeah, right?
I was just going to say, patience. You need to pray for your own.
Right. Yeah, pray for patience in this. Yeah, Kayla?
You also need to pray to have a continuing zeal for the love of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because disciple making can be tough at times.
How so? How can it be tough? What is tough about disciple making? And it can be messy at times. I've told other people this spiritual growth, as much as we would like it to be, is not a straight line up. It's like a roller coaster. Sometimes there's loop-de-loops. Sometimes there's corkscrews. It can be really wonky at times. But the trajectory, generally speaking, we want to be up. That's what God's work is to continue to conform us to the image of His Son. Our sinful nature makes that difficult at times. Yeah, good. What else? We put up a couple here then. We can pray for just opportunities even. Opportunities with the lost. Colossians 4:3, pray that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ. We pray for opportunities. And what I'm going to put up here on the screen are primarily the evangelistic side of things, but you can make the applications elsewhere. But we ought to be praying, God, give me an opportunity. There's a book in our library, the church library, called, it's written by Walter Wilson. Thank you, Just What the Doctor Ordered. And he wrote, this book was written, there's all kinds of little stories about him really praying this kind of prayer pretty much every day. And the stories of the opportunities that God gave to him with a variety of different people in a whole slew of different situations. But praying for an opportunity. There are times that God just plops the opportunity in your lap. Okay? Sometimes God just brings someone along your path and they say, I want to know more about the Bible, or I want to know more about spirituality. That's happened to me. That's rare. Doesn't always happen like that. It rarely happens like that. Sometimes God can use us and put us in situations where we can steer a conversation in a sense to create that opportunity. But nonetheless, we can pray that God would open to us a door for the word. Another thing we can pray. We can pray for clarity as we speak the truth of the gospel. Again, Paul in Colossians, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. That would make it clear. How many times, we said this before, one of the greatest fears in the whole process of disciple making from our vantage point is, I don't always know what to say. Well, pray. Lord, I pray that you would help me to speak clearly. Even in those times where I may not know what the answer is, help me to speak clearly. Say, you know what? I don't know the answer to that right now, but let's study the scripture together. And let's seek out the answer from the Bible together. Speak clearly. But even the things that you know, Lord, help me to communicate this truth in a way that is clear, that can be understandable, and that your spirit then could make it understood. In that sense. Okay, so pray for these, for clarity. We can pray for boldness. Paul asked for prayer for this, Ephesians chapter 6. Pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Boldness. And Paul is asking for prayer for this in prison. That's where he's writing. Boldly. That doesn't mean brazenly and pompously and arrogantly. That just means I'm not going to be afraid of what man is going to think. I'm going to speak the truth in love in a way that would honor God. I'm going to be bold about it. Okay, so we can pray for that kind of boldness. And then we can pray for a lack of opposition to our gospel witness. Again, Paul, 2 Thessalonians 3, pray that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. That's a biblical prayer to pray. Lord, as I'm out, as I'm seeking to win people or to meet people and build relationships with them, as I'm seeking to disciple someone, I pray that there be no resistance. You can pray that. Now, there may be times when God might supernaturally allow some resistance to you as a test of your own faith, even at times. But it's okay to pray for this kind of thing as well. Hey, anything else you want to add to this? What can we pray for regarding ourselves? Yeah, Marsh?
I think it's important that when we're about witnessing people, we need to emulate what Christ's likeness looks like.
Yes.
Because if we want to convert them, they're going to want to see like that we're actually different than how they are. If they see nothing different, then that's going to automatically turn the lights. So we need to be emulating Christ's likeness.
Yeah, so if we can pray in that sense, Lord, help me to live a life consistently, growing like Christ, so that as people see me, like we could be the salt and light in the world that Christ wants us to be. Yeah, good. Ray?
Going along with what Marshall said, I was thinking in my head, praying that I would not be an obstacle
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes our reactions in situations
yep.
can become an obstacle.
Right.
We know we're not perfect, but still.
Yeah, that's a great prayer. Lord, help me not to be an obstacle
right.
to this person growing or coming to Christ to begin with. Good. All right.
Don't you also find, you know, because sometimes you meet resistance, you sense somebody just can get discouraged. Sometimes prayer just recharges the batteries.
Sure. Keep us from discouragement.
Yeah.
You think about, yes, there are examples of people in church history where they seem to see a lot of people come to Christ. But there are also some who don't. And I've mentioned these names before, but you look at a guy like David Livingstone, great pioneer missionary in Africa. To my knowledge, I believe he only saw one convert in all of those years. Only one. Is he any less faithful or quote-unquote successful than the Apostle Peter, who saw thousands come to Christ at Pentecost? No. They're both faithful men. But we can be discouraged because we don't see the numbers. Yeah, right?
I always think of the scripture that talks about one who sows and one who reaps.
Yep.
And there are people who are just really great sowers, but they don't see it reaped, that someone else comes along.
Right.
So,
yeah. Right. I sowed, someone else watered, God gives the increase. That does happen. Good. Anything else you want to add here? These are good. You file these away in your brain. Help me to pray like this too. Let's ask the other question. What kinds of things should we be praying for regarding the lost? Now this is specifically in evangelistic situations. So what kind of things should we be praying for regarding the lost? Say there. Yeah.
God to be working in their heart.
For God to be working in their heart. Yeah, good. What else? Shayla?
That they would not disregard the gospel as foolishness.
Okay, they would not disregard the gospel as foolishness. Good. Step?
That they would not blind their eye or even give them reason to doubt.
Yeah, and even extend that further, that God would even remove the blinders from their hearts. Yeah, good. Who was it? Michelle? Sure. Yeah. Side note. Anybody ever been in a conversation like that? Where you're talking to someone about the gospel, and it seems like they're really grasping it, and then something happens. And completely seems to derail the conversation, diverts the attention. And you feel like, well, okay, this conversation's done. That sometimes happens. It happens in church services, too. It seems like, you know, a pastor might be right at the brink of a, you know, the climax of the sermon, making an application, whatever, and something happens and diverts people's attention, whatever, and you feel like, well, okay, that was, from a human standpoint anyway, it seems like it was totally derailed. That sometimes happens. So yeah, we can pray, God help this person not to be distracted from the truth that I'm seeking to impart to them. Yeah, good. What else? Marsh?
We could also, this is kind of the double-sided, but we could also pray for the right timing, though that kind of is for ourselves as well. We could pray for the right timing that God would bring the unsaved person to the end of themselves.
Sure. Right, that's the example of taking the prodigal son example and using that in prayer. Sometimes that has to happen. The prodigal son had to come to the end of himself, and then he came to the Father. Beautiful picture of God and us, that's what that parable is. Ray?
Mind if I give a little testimony?
Go for it. You bet.
One of the thoughts that comes to me in this is it's so easy to get discouraged that we love.
Yeah.
And regarding praying for the lost, it's not over until it's over.
Yep.
Some of you have prayed with me on Wednesday night several months ago. Like we were praying for a lady named Shirley, who's the mother of one of my mother had come to live with her because she would go back and forth between the son and the daughter. She was 90 years old. She was not saved. Linda was not brought up in a Christian home. And she was very resistant to the gospel. She thought Linda and her husband were in a cult. But she would listen, and when she came to live with Linda, she would go to church with Linda. But she would not accept the Lord. She didn't want any part of that. So she's a very healthy woman, 90 years old. She had a massive stroke last week. And Linda would get discouraged. My mother's never going to get saved. She's never going to get saved. And I said, no, it's not over until it's over. It's not over. Just keep praying. Keep praying. She was in the hospital as Linda's pastor came to pray with her. And she was friends with people in the church, but she would not commit herself to the Lord. On her deathbed, she committed herself to the Lord.
Yeah, I.
And I also tell that to people who prayed with me for Shirley. She
yes.
did accept the Lord before she passed.
Years ago, I had a similar situation. Years ago, I got a call from a guy in New York whose dad was in the hospital here in Wentworth Douglas. Been witnessing to him for months. The father never came to Christ. And the son came up. Well, he asked me if I would go be one to go see his dad. And I said, of course. So I did. And talked with him a little bit, left him a gospel tract at the time, I think it was. And then later on, the son came up. The dad had digressed even more. I think the two of us went in. The father was in ICU, still able to communicate, but not doing well at all. And I got an email from the son saying, my dad trusted Christ today, and he died the next day. So that does happen, right? Thief on the cross. That does happen. It's a wonderful thing. Let me put up here a few suggestions as well. We can pray that the word of God would run and be glorified in people's lives. That's Paul praying in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. Pray with me that the word of the Lord would run and be glorified even as it is with you. What does that mean, by the way? Pray that the word of the Lord would run.
Would not be hindered.
That it would be free, that it would not be hindered, that as we're seeking to give people the word of God, the gospel, that there be no hindrances, that there be no hindrances in them listening, hearing it, and even receiving it. We can pray that God would open up the eyes of the blind to the truth of the gospel, Acts 26:18, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. This is a great prayer. God, open the eyes of the spiritually blind.
Yeah.
So they can see the light of truth. They can see you. That's a good prayer to pray. We can pray that the Spirit of God does his work of convicting. Someone mentioned that God was working in their hearts. I think this is where we could give the scriptural backing to that. The Spirit of God will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. May that Spirit do the work in this person's life. God, as you brought this person across my path, I'm seeking to give them your truth. I'm seeking to tell them about the good news of Christ, but it's your Spirit that has to bring conviction of sin.
Amen.
And I pray that that would happen. That's a biblical prayer. We can pray for lost people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. We're told this in 1 Timothy 2. The context there is specifically for pray for those who are in authority over you, but pray for all men as well. It says, prayers be made for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. We can pray that kind of prayer for people. So the point is, we should be praying for ourselves in this process. We should be praying for others in this process of disciple making, whether it's evangelism, which is what these four things have focused on, or the discipleship aspect. Similar kinds of ideas too. Lord, open up their hearts to this new truth. Open up their hearts to what the scripture says. Help them to grow. May your Spirit work in their lives. All these different things. We pray for these. Again, because I can't do it. I can impart truth, I can communicate truth, but I can't press the button in someone's heart on save. I can't flip the switch, I can't make the change happen. That's a supernatural act of God. And we pray because we depend on Him. Last question. Why don't we pray more for these things to happen? Sherry?
We might get discouraged. And I know there have been times when I've gotten discouraged, and I have to constantly remind myself that it's not in my time, it's in God's.
Yep.
And sometimes it's just hard to appreciate.
You're right. And let's talk about that, because that's a valid point. We can be discouraged. And when we get discouraged, we generally don't pray like we ought, generally speaking. Why do we get discouraged? And let's keep here in the context here of making maturing disciples. Why do we get discouraged? Marsh?
As you mentioned before, we often focus on the numbers. And if we don't see the numbers, then we think we're not succeeding, we're not successful.
Yep. Good. Why else? Right?
We may be viewing things from our time perspective, yep, versus God's providence.
That's right. I want them saved now, God. Why don't you do it now? Don't you know? Yeah. Our timetable. God doesn't submit to us. Okay, good. Why else, Deb?
We can't see what they're thinking or considering,
mm-hmm,
you know, and so we feel like it's just hitting the walls.
Right.
Feedback.
Yeah, we feel like we're getting nowhere with them. Yeah. Yeah, good. Why else?
We live in a society that we like quick results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't like waiting.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think that has become even more the issue the longer time has gone on, especially with pop culture. I mean, pop culture is a now culture. Microwaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, instant coffee. Drive-through windows, different things like that. We want things now, and we want evangelism to be like that too. God, I've witnessed to them for 5 minutes. Why can't they get saved? You know. Here's the point. There's all kinds of reasons why we can be discouraged. I'm going to say, rarely, if ever, is our discouragement based on God. It's based on me. God, why aren't you doing it the way I think you should? Why isn't it happening now? Why can't more people come to me? Why can't more people get saved that I'm talking to? Okay, the discouragement comes generally, I'm going to say, you know, I'll make the almost blanket statement that discouragement comes because our mindset is off. I am me-centered, or at least man-centered. And that's not spiritual. Yeah, Michelle? Yeah. That's right. We're afraid of what God's going to ask us. Yeah, right?
There's also the aspect of who is the great condemner in our lives. It's Satan.
Yep.
And he doesn't want to see people saved, so he's going to discourage you himself.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Anything else you want to add here? Why don't we pray for more of these things to happen? Talk about discouragement. I think one... Yeah, Marsh?
We could phrase...
Yep.
Since we're living in the post-Christian world, people are going to automatically protect the gospel, and you could make that ferocity for everyone.
Yes. And ultimately, what that is that's a fear of man more than it is a fear of God. Okay, so I don't want to be rejected. I want to be liked. So why should I tell this to someone who's not going to like me? It's a fear of man more than a fear of God. And one other thing I want to mention here... I think one of the reasons why we don't pray more for these things to happen is because we reason in our minds, God, I'm too busy. I have too many things going on. And I think if I pray about this, you're going to put someone in my life that I have to disciple. And that's going to take time. Okay, like we said all along. There's a variety of reasons. Angela, can you say something?
I'm going to go back again for
Sure.
This is very confusing.
Yeah. And the answer to all of these things, to tie it in with the sermon this morning, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Just die to yourself and say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, to talk to whoever you want me to talk about. I get afraid easily. I don't like to do some of these things. I get that. We are humans. God knows that we're just dust. But God is greater than all that. And God can give us the strength and even give us the words and give us the mentality that we need to be the effective disciple makers that he's called us to be. It is a supernatural work, not just of the salvation. It's a supernatural work for us to talk to someone even as well. It's a God dependence every day. And we struggle. Like I said, it's a roller coaster. We all get that. But it's a daily, say, God, I'm your servant today. Help me today. I need you desperately. All right, so here's your homework. Commit yourself to pray more in these ways. No one of us is perfect. No one of us is going to pray enough. But can we at least make a commitment to pray more? To take even one step of growth in this aspect of praying. Because if prayer doesn't happen in the context of disciple making, why should we expect anyone to get saved? Why should we expect disciples to be made? If we're not depending on God at all, why should we expect God to work? Okay? Any last things you want to point out before we close up? All right, so let's commit ourselves to prayer. We're going to wrap that.